ngang bu du te pe luk su chu chin te ngang ngang gi din cho la
yang do ji su te bu luk su cha wa yang 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 jar do ji te ku luk su chu chin na se tak pa ram jang yin te nu ye ne jin kor do ta pa ka ye ten te dang bu le jiu la dang lamu rang yin de dang bu se dang jiu na pi cho ji yi ji zu dang bu se ru o ya
so this was the part which then gives the various names of the Vajrayana. So again, there is an argument. So it says, given the Vajrayana tradition, it is universal purity, or it is universal purity since, according to it, the vessel, that is the external world, is pure in that it is a primordial mandala, and the contents, sentient beings, are of the nature of male and female deities. They are of the nature of gods and goddesses, and since the eight consciousnesses, the continuum, the mental continuum, are pure, or is pure in that it is wisdom.
Tandik also Lordi Tipi Lola Nansi Takparam Jari Nansi Takparam Jari Yimbala Duzi Jitensi Jigurava Duzi Jitensi Meba Yina Taparam Jari Sena Pengi Yamari.
So, according to the Vajrayana tradition, then, or this tradition teaches universal purity. When teaching universal purity, one then needs reasons by means of which one can establish this standpoint, and so three are given. So the term rabjam means or amounts to that there are no impurities whatsoever of any kind.
So
generally speaking, impurity then comes into existence independence upon the conceptual mind. So impurities in themselves are concepts. Then according to the view of the Vajrayana, the essence or essential nature of that which is conceived of as impure or that which is conceived of as impure has no real essence, has no self-entity, has no true existence.
When a mlam nangyere, mlam je kapso, mtsang patam madapa, nama na tsobe kyagare tete, namto ko wangkapa, namto ko tapa tsangre mato, siruta madapa tsangye yomarwa.
So the analogy used to describe that view is then the one of a dream. In the dream state, one then dreams of a variety of things. One can dream of things that are impure, dirty, and so forth. These dream appearances then manifest independence on the conceptual mind. In actual fact, or ultimately, these things dreamt of have no external existence whatsoever. Similarly, according to the Vajrayana, there are no impurities, there is no impurity. Impurity then, as was said, manifests independence on the conceptual mind. Therefore, impurities have no essence, have no true existence. So ultimately, this tradition speaks of, for that reason, universal purity.
Tene daya de karata gore sene ta no ju ju son ta gore.
Then one may wonder what is to be purified. Well, that is then one's way of viewing the external world, its contents, sentient beings, and the continuum, the mental continuum.
Yene, tambone, kane, domane, tomane, tendeji whatever. Tomane, jinkur to tapaka, tambone, jinkur to tapaka.
So, with respect to the external world, which is like a vessel, then this external world is primordially pure in that it is a mandala, a primordial mandala. So then Rinpoche gave a lot of synonyms for primordial, from the very beginning, initially, and so forth. So that's then the first reason by means of which this view of universal purity is established. If, for example, one dreams of an ocean of filth, dirt, then from the very beginning, that ocean of filth has no true existence. So that's how this view is illustrated. That's an analogy illustrating this view.
This is not
So the first reason by means of which this view of universal purity is established is then that the external world is primordially pure in that it is a primordial mandala. So the kangshik, as you've seen before, always indicates the first reason, that the first reason is to be followed by other reasons.
This is a tan nancy takwaram jayimba la tense tangbo. No yeni jinkor de tapeta junsinte higo here.
So, in relation to this view of universal purity, one, as was said, should have a knowledge of the various reasons by means of which it is established. So, this is the first reason, namely that the external world is primordially pure in that it is a primordial mandala.
Tatea no yeni jinkor yimbatea. Tene sangha ki jyoi le dorje changa yene tapa yinpa song yore te long re rikpe ta kye ta na malam je pe so la jate rikpe ta kye ta tene long ta rikpa nyam yong kato ko ware ta.
So this view then is to be established by means of scripture, reasoning, and personal experience. With respect to scriptural authority, there are one can then quote Vajradhara, who has then given teachings that are written down in the tantras of the secret Mantrayana. There it is stated then that the external world is pure in that it is a primordial mandala. This, as we saw, can also be established by reasoning, by using the analogy of a dream, as Rinpoche used. So one is then to establish the validity of the reasons one give by means of scripture, reasoning, and personal experience. Then we have the second reason, which is that sentient beings are pure in that they are of the nature of gods and goddesses. So the inner contents, sentient beings, are then pure in that they are of the nature of gods and goddesses. In the Vajrayana, it's then taught that the skandhas, dhatus, and ayatanas are of this nature of male and female deities. So in that sense, sentient beings are pure.
That long kande toga do se na tene jui le ju nang ju ji sen jin nam tene lai rang yin ba jui le song yo par.
This has been taught in the tantras, namely that sentient beings are pure in that they are of this nature of gods and goddesses. So one can establish the validity of this reason by means of scripture, scriptural authority.
Tene rikpa ka kande togre se na pe na ume wang do se na tene ume tabo wang do se na kunzup je na wa tamje na dong ye mi ra ba.
Then there is the second point, namely to establish this reason, the validity of this reason in relation to reasoning. So in terms then of the view of the Madhyamaka tradition, then all relative phenomena, all deceptive phenomena are ultimately the inseparability of appearance and emptiness.
This is a sentient.
Therefore, the bodies of sentient beings are also this inseparability of appearance and emptiness. So if the bodies of sentient beings are ultimately the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, that amounts to the same as this statement, namely that they are of the nature of gods and goddesses. So generally speaking, the forms of deities or gods and goddesses are not gross. They are not, their bodies or forms are not made up of blood and flesh. They are very pure. They are not at all filthy or dirty, unclean. And their bodies are also not made up of subtle particles such as atoms. So this is then So therefore, their forms of bodies are this inseparability of appearance and emptiness, since their bodies are not made up of gross matter. So if our bodies were rainbow-like, then our bodies would be comparable to the forms of bodies of gods and goddesses. So our bodies then have the same form as deities. There are deities that have just two hands and two legs. So we are then like these deities. Though there are other deities that have many hands and legs, as many as 1,000, but there are also those that only have two of each. So in fact, our bodies are similar to the bodies that in appearance, similar to the bodies of gods and goddesses. So if one dreams of oneself and recognizes that one is dreaming, at that point one's dream body becomes like the body of a deity.
Mm-hmm.
If one recognizes a dream for what it is, then one is able to transform or change whatever is dreamt of, so one can transform one's own body at that point into the form of a deity. So when one recognizes a dream for what it is, as was said, one is able to change into whatever one desires to change into. If one is attracted to a red deity, one can change into a red one. One can change into a blue one, transform one's own body into a blue one, if that's what one likes. So at that point, in fact, one's body is like the body of a deity.
Tiyin de tang a zu lu de la denbari kienba tang, matang bi kienba pe wang, nam to go wang ge song wa re ma to, mu ne je ne zu se ne lu de la yi rang yin de ji guan da wu yu, ji guan re, ji bai zan
yu. So it's then due to conceiving of one's body as real and solid, that So due to conceiving of one's body as real and solid, due to viewing it as something unclean, as something filthy, then due to such conceptions, one isn't able to experience this nature, namely that the one's body is of the nature of a deity. So due to the conceptual mind that is not experienced or realized, then from the point of view of how the body actually is, from the point of the view of its true nature, then it is of this nature, namely of a deity.
The malare person ko la do yure da ke yedan tirem gom sa na le na dong pa nang gen ja thong da te la ngo zo me pe si pa se son bare
da vi kirim gi gom sa na So Milarepa stated in relation to the practice of the developing phase that the body is like a rainbow, the inseparability of appearance and emptiness. So if one realizes that the body in fact or ultimately is the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, similar to a rainbow manifesting in space, at that point there is no need for visualizing oneself as a deity. That realization in itself is sufficient. So in terms of the Vajrayana, there are two phases have been extensively explained in the inner profound meaning by the third Karmapa, Rangjung Dorje. There he mentions that with respect to the practice of the developing phase, if there is a realization of the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, which is the same as that there no longer is any grasping at appearances as real and solid, as truly existent, then that realization in itself is sufficient, or that way of viewing or experiencing the phenomenal world is sufficient. It's no need then for additional practice, such as visualizing oneself in the form of a deity.
Tene ngagalo la pongka chinchi namre re ni la la jar so yure te ta nenga rawo te lu na dong yemi te la la te chepa me ba te karche yo banda sambayong ara.
So in terms of the Vajrayana then with respect to the skandhas, dhatus and ayatanas, various deities are related to each and every one of these. Rinpoche thinks that the essential point of that teaching is to realize the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, that is in relation to one's own body. So if one's body is realized as the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, then the essential point of those teachings have been realized. In terms of the Mantrayana, then three aspects of the body are mentioned. There is a coarse or gross aspect, then a subtle one, and finally a very subtle. So the coarse body is then our bodies, or the bodies that are made up of the four elements. Then there is the subtle body, which is of the nature of nadis, prana, and bindu. Then there is the very subtle body, which is the true nature of mind, the inseparability of luminosity and emptiness. So ultimately, this statement that the bodies of beings is of the nature of deities or gods and goddesses has to be related to this third very subtle body, which is then the true nature of mind. Then in terms of meditating on deities, then, as Rinpoche mentioned, there are three types. The first one is then conceptually created, an imaginary deity. Then there is the deity of prana and mind, and finally wisdom deity, the wisdom deity. These three are then to be related to these three types of bodies mentioned.
So in relation to
practicing the first type, to mentally or conceptually create the image of a deity, meditate upon a deity as meditating on oneself as a deity, then, for example, if one imagines a deity with one face, two arms, and so forth, one in actual fact only has changed one's appearance slightly. So sometimes... Well, it amounts to that one then changes one's appearance, color, shape, and so forth. So sometimes one imagines oneself in the form of a red deity, as a blue deity, or as a white deity. So the purpose of this, namely to change one's appearance by means of imagining oneself in the form of a deity, is to cut through one's ordinary way of conceiving of one's body, of conceiving of oneself. So one changes one's ordinary appearance, so to speak.
So,
as was said, one changes one's outer appearance, the way in which one conceives of one's outer appearance. Then, with respect to mind, one also cuts through one's ordinary way of of thinking. One cuts through the conceptual mind by means of having confidence in, or developing confidence in, that one truly is the deity, which is literally called one takes pride in being the deity.
Tena kuenta ke chirem te rapa vanta sena rapa lula tamar pa nang ki janya ke chedre sena kachedre sena.
So one might say that this practice related to the developing phase, which amounts to that one then conceptually creates or imagines oneself in the form of a specific deity. The purpose of such practice is then to cut through the ordinary way of conceiving of one's body. So as was said, then the second body, the subtle body, is of the nature of nadis, prana, and bindu. So when one practices, then in terms of practice or meditating on prana, then the legi lungjava umarcipa, the karmic. Mm-hmm. When the karmic prana enters the central nadi, then deities, mandalas, naturally manifest, naturally arise by the force of that the karmic prana has entered the central nadi. So that's then the very subtle body in relation to the second type of deity, the deity of prana and mind.
Then,
when the true nature of mind has been directly realized, the true nature of mind is then termed Mahamudra, Mahati. It is said to be the inseparability of luminosity and emptiness, and so forth. By the power of that realization, then also naturally deities and mandalas arise. So that is then related to the very subtle body, which, as was said, is inseparable from the true nature of mind. So that realization, or by the power of that realization, then these deities and mandalas manifest
naturally.
So for the reasons mentioned, then the contents, sentient beings, are pure in that they are of the nature of deities or gods and goddesses. Then there is the mental continuum, which refers to or pertains to the eight consciousnesses. So they are pure in that they are wisdom. So mind is pure that
wisdom.
Yeah, so this is just the basics of these reasons. There are very extensive explanations or teachings in relation to these three reasons mentioned. So then the way in which the eight consciousnesses are pure in that they are wisdom is explained further on.
So
So in terms of the Vajrayana, universal purity and sameness or equality are to be established. So the following syllogism then establishes sameness, the sameness of samsara and nirvana. So given the Vajrayana, it is the sameness of, or it it teaches the sameness of conditioned existence and peace, since these are of one taste in the expanse free from elaborations, the true nature.
Sige nyamni sejete sipan kovare heva nyandere, sige nyamni tang, konde yirmi te tunda jiwa yungare.
So conditioned existence is then samsara and peace is nirvana. So that amounts to the inseparability of these two, the sameness of them.
Dorna dorje tebe lola sipa de kheva le cheba mevare, kova da nyande le cheba meba yir mevare.
So according to the Vajrayana, there are no differences in relation to conditioned existence and peace or samsara and nirvana. They are inseparable.
Mere. Tatrupan gozi jirpane. Nelok trupa the traveling so rochik ve se jerawa. Tuda topa la trupan gozi jirpa gore. Trupan gozi jirpane ume rikina le yin mugoso.
So it is then stated at the end of the reason that they are of one taste within the expanse that is free from mental complexity or mental fabrications. One then needs reasoning by means of which one can negate or refute mental fabrications. With respect to that, apart from the five great reasons of the Majjhimagga tradition, no others are needed.
Retain the Chita Sangagalola, Tanda Nyamniti, Umaripa, Repartumo, and the Tema to Yinda Mogorendo, Tapa Teta Sangaka, Yang Chepatu.
The Nyamniti Tensi Naki Gona drove together.
Really, Umatinti Naka,
drove together. Yine Taparajanti.
Tapate. Tapate, Takondi Hibanaki.
So, in terms of sameness, the sameness of samsara and nirvana taught in the Vajrayana, then the five great reasons of the Majjhimagga tradition are sufficient with respect to establishing that standpoint. With respect to universal purity, as we saw above, other reasons are put forth, presented.
Jyusom jannam ya yote, ta sangak loglo jyusom da karche vara, jyusom jannam ya pa yote, lusin yirmi juju yinba kanke, lutan sem yirme bate, juju yinba kanke, tabdan hirab yirme bate, tabji jyutan. Kuni yirmi, tanda, chukotan zuku yirme bate, devu ju yinba sero.
So again, there is then a syllogism. So given the Vajrayana, it presents or teaches the three tantras, since the inseparability of mind and body is the causal tantra or the tantra of cause, and since the inseparability of means and knowledge is the tantra of means, and since the inseparability of the two kayas, the dharma kaya and the two form kayas, is the tantra of fruition.
Lusin yermi jui jui tabji yermi tabji jui kuni yermi devi jure. Oya. Tate jom go serva. Tene de lusin yermi se jota rakva luta semni yermi te dojo membra. Travel with the Hindu travel with the so then it is a means.
So, in terms of the first statement relating the inseparability of mind and body, Rinpoche says probably the coarse body and the coarse aspect of mind are not in question here. What is considered is then the subtle and very subtle bodies.
Then Arapa Lua, Mune Nelo Kuang to send a Lucy Yemi Yungu Yure, the Yinaya, Tamar Pentonzo Tantana, the Ningatu, Heba Kavso, Rote, La Roga Yure, same to Soso and Roga Yudu, the Tamar Pentonzo Tantana, Lucy Yemi Sena,
So from the viewpoint of the true nature of mind and body, then in relation to the coarse body and coarse aspect of mind, one can speak of their inseparability. But from the viewpoint of ordinary way of perception, the way in which body and mind is viewed by an ordinary person, then, for example, at death, the body is left behind and the mind leaves it. So in terms of such perception, one doesn't... This standpoint or statement that mind and body are inseparable wouldn't be seen as valid. So from the viewpoint of the conceptual mind of an ordinary person, then if mind and body are to be inseparable, it follows that when the body is cremated, the mind also is cremated, also burns in the fire. And in the case of burying the body in the earth, then the mind would also be buried along with the body. So from that viewpoint, this statement, namely that mind and body are inseparable, wouldn't be valid. Whereas from the viewpoint of the true nature of body and mind, then one speaks of their inseparability. The analogy given to illustrate that is then the dream body and dream mind. These then are inseparable. The way in which these are inseparable illustrates this inseparability of body and mind.
Kajing nare jirem jirem nam do ki takpa yin be zurem kona gombar sa u hena kaje ke jirem te doktar nam do ki takpa re ti sene zurem kona gom ne de gere jirem gom go mare hena de lo lam na
So then again, if then somebody makes the following statement, since the developing phase is a conceptual designation or imputation, one should only practice or meditate on the completion phase. If somebody states that, then the following reason should be given, which counteracts that point of view. Given the conceptual developing phase, it follows one needs to practice it, since it is a method which enables one to enter the unfabricated path or independence. On the fabricated path, then one enters the unfabricated path.
Chapte, Machap Sena Chapte, Machu Paton and Jopala, Jumalan and Temba Mato Tab Yime, Beset. Machu Palan and Jopa, Machu Palan and Jopata, Jopala, Jopa Tap, Jumalan Mato Tab Yime, Beset.
This follows, or this is a valid reason, since there is no other way than practicing the fabricated. Since there is no other way to enter or engage in the unfabricated path other than first having practiced the fabricated or contrived path.
Thus,
since if there was such a thing as the possibility of engaging in an unfabricated path, not having practiced a fabricated path first, then that wouldn't in fact be a practice, since an unfabricated path is the result of having practiced something formerly or previously, namely a fabricated path. So that's, so to speak, the result. So it wouldn't be a method or a means in itself. It's the result of having practiced other methods. Well, if the first reason is not accepted by the opponent, namely that one must first practice the contrived or conceptual path, and that then enables one to engage in or practice the unfabricated or non-conceptual path, if that reason isn't accepted, then one needs to give another reason, which could be as follows. It follows that the above reason given is valid, since in dependence on the path of the developing phase, which is fabricated or contrived, one is able to enter or engage in the unfabricated completion phase. Then it says etc., meaning that one gives such reasons and others in order to establish this standpoint. So one progressively establishes this by means of various reasons. So the developing phase is a contrived or conceptual path. The completion phase is then an unfabricated or non-conceptual path. So in the inner profound meaning, it is stated that that one needs to practice the conceptual or fabricated path, the developing phase. One purpose is to enable the practitioner to rapidly be able to accomplish samadhi.
So
when one visualizes oneself in the form of a deity and the external world as a mandala, by that one then develops samadhi. That visualization is then the support enabling one to accomplish samadhi. So in terms of the Vajrayana, then there are three aspects, the outer, inner, and other relating to the external world, deities, the Vajra body, deities, and mandalas. So samadhi is well, these are also important with respect to accomplishing samadhi. So these three aspects, outer, which refers to the external world, inner, referring to the Vajra body, and other, referring to deities and mandalas, are then complete within one thing, that is the expanse of the true nature of mind, Mahamudra. So these are then these three arise out of this expanse of the true nature of mind, Mahamudra. So they are complete within that expanse. Then, as Rinpoche has mentioned, the skandhas, dhatus, and ayatanas are then of the nature of deities. There are specific deities related to each and every one of these, and in relation to that practice, the three aspects mentioned, outer, inner, and other, relating to the external world, the Vajra body, deities, and mandalas, are then conjoined.
Tene guba sumba de karasena yendo de mambala zuku zuku na to be simchi ji tu se betene etendere yobari.
So another purpose of such practice, namely to visualize oneself as a deity and the external world as the mandala and so forth, the associated mandala and so forth, is to put up or set up the conditions which then results in that one accomplishes the form kayas in the future. The form kayas are then one needs to accomplish these in order to benefit beings, in order to work for the welfare of beings. So this practice related to the developing phase is also needed in that respect. So if during the path one then imagines oneself in the form of the deity and the external world as the associated mandala, one in fact does various meditations, visualizing oneself as many different deities, that then in the future results in the attainment of the form kayas, by the power of which one can work for the benefit of beings manifesting in various forms.
Tanda tsuwa tene dorje tepa la chonze chepare te karcheva tso la chonze chepare.
So this part
chepate karcheva tso la chonze chepare.
This part is then a very brief analysis of the Vajrayana. Rinpoche then emphasizes that it's only brief.
Dorje tepa la chenye tepa nangyin je chepa tenru gogoyo mare mato chetan dorje tepa la ya.
So, in fact, it's not necessary to analyze the Vajrayana as extensively as one analyzes the path of characteristics, the sutra tradition, though if one were to attempt to a more extensive analysis, it is possible. So the main views of the Vajrayana, as we have seen, is the view of universal purity and sameness. These then can be, their validity can be established by means of reasoning, and one needs to establish their validity by means of reasoning.
Tene dorje tepa lo la takpa ta nyamni madupa la, tene madupa ka te takpa ta nyamni dopcho goyo.
So one can in fact negate objections to these views of universal purity and sameness by means of reasoning, and one needs to do that. In the past, great scholars have then debated this subject. This part is then a brief analysis of the Vajrayana, which then shows that such analysis can be made, that it is permissible. So then there is finally a concluding verse given in order to facilitate the practice of meditation for those that emphasize that.
Tenya dorje tepe lo la kowa, kowa tsobo sepa. Tenda kowa la gawa namlan chenyi sochi tu kwe pare. Kowa tsanje mende pa repi dupzi shi kwe pa namla, dupzi kwe pa namla, tene rikwe chonsi che pare. Tene, tendu la mga pa tene nyamni tsobo ndwe pa namla, tene tsikye shik.
So, as we have seen in the text, each part is divided into three sections. The first is then an enumeration of definitions or characteristics given in order to facilitate an intellectual understanding for those that emphasize that, for those that are interested in that type of approach. Then there is the second section, which enumerates various reasons by means of which one either refutes or establishes a specific standpoint. That is then given for the sake of those that emphasize the practice of reasoning. For those that doesn't consider an intellectual understanding to be sufficient, then there is the third part, which is always a concluding verse. Related to the practice of meditation. It is then given for the sake of those that then are not interested in reasoning or intellectual approach, for those that emphasize the practice of meditation.
Tene dorje tepe lo la nyamin tsogor singin la ta tene tepe chenpo chenji go yore.
So, in terms of the Vajrayana, those then that emphasize the practice of meditation needs to be totally free from doubts, needs to have great faith.
Tene dorje tepa la yi chi tenpo yo pa, tetson tsani me pa. Dorje tepe damga tenpa pa lama la tetson tsani me pa tepa tenpo chi yo na, tene tela tsik mambu mungo kore do.
So in terms of a practitioner that has no doubts whatsoever with respect to the teachings of the Vajrayana, someone who has a firm faith and confidence in this tradition, and in addition to that, also a firm faith and confidence in the teacher that gives the quintessential instructions. In the case of such a practitioner, then many words are not needed. In terms of such a practitioner, then the practice itself is most important. So, generally speaking, with respect to the Buddhist tradition, it is stated then that one shouldn't rely on the literal meaning, one should rely on the meaning behind the words, the meaning of what has been taught. The words or the literal meaning of a word is not important. One may call a god or a deity. One may give this deity or god the name demon, though in actual fact that is a deity. It's not a demon. So the literal meaning of the word is not important. So the meaning of what has been mentioned, the meaning of the subject matter is important, not the literal meaning. What do you want to say?
Oh, I guess I thought he was saying that the words were demons, but the meaning is God.
The Hlachik La Dreaming Tana, Sumsunga. No, if you give the name demon to a god. Tlachikla, dreaming, tana, give the name demon to a god.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So the literal meaning of the word is not the main thing is the meaning of the word. So the word itself, the literal meaning of the word isn't important. The meaning is
important.
So in terms of a practitioner who emphasizes the practice of meditation, then words or literal meaning is not very important. Their meaning is important.
So
the verse then says that thus knowing the meaning of the teachings of the great secret path, that is, namely the meaning, the mode of purity of the three things mentioned, the vessel, its contents, and the continuum. One should then know the meaning of these teachings and practice in that way. And if the meaning of the sameness of conditioned existence and peace is realized, then the apparent world, samsara and nirvana, is the field of the three kayas of the victorious ones, that is a Buddha field. So if sameness is realized, then the apparent world, samsara and nirvana, becomes a Buddha field, or is seen or experienced as a Buddha field.
Tetar sanchi durje te pe jyoje tumne kare se na kondi ke ba yedo no ju ju sonde takparam jang yibe sorhi ke sigi nyamni te to gore ta sigi nyamba ni ji ton ton na takpa ta nyamni ni ro wa no ju ju som takpa te takpa chor tan sigi nyamba ni ge ton de to na tene na sen konde ji chu tam je kosom jar bi chen kan es.
So then the meaning of the teachings of the secret, great secret path, the Vajrayana, is then that the three things mentioned, the external world, sentient beings, and their minds or the mental continuum, are pure. So one should have a knowledge of this, practice with a knowledge of this. That is the first view that was explained above, namely universal purity. Then there is the second view of sameness, that then if realized, if one has realized the meaning of the sameness of samsara and nirvana, conditioned existence and peace, then the apparent world, samsara and nirvana, is a Buddha field, the field of the three kayas of the victorious ones. So if universal purity and sameness are realized, then the apparent world, samsara and nirvana, then is the field of the three kayas of the victorious ones, a Buddha field. So now we will recite this concluding verse.
There was often a lot of discussion about
The what?
The three lower tantras.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, from what I've observed so far, that it's not something that's practiced widely, but that for the most part, the emphasis goes on Dhammabhin and Jokhi.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you could answer him, but if that's actually the case.
If that was like that in Tibet?
Yeah, if it's so, and then, well, let's just see what happens.
You know how to ask him.
Yeah.
Tava remjo go wanda sena tambora seda ma batava ne ometava pada sete ne na katava hiko vare dwa gomba remjo sena tene oma gomente sa gomne ngala men jo go vare dwa jute remjo sena tambo saji nyamne sete ne chuji nyamne sete ne lame ju nyamne se tene nga lame nyamne te jute remjo go vare remjo mazu na tene I am a man. Tela seda mawati, dode payang tejin. Ten namjur chuvani, teji so omati. Hajeramba kunhine, teji chee dojitis. Te kanza wampun dendan tamasola, tabarem joke, chuvarem joke, gobarem joke de sabres on the wa. Kanza wampu rablaina, terem joke over your mother. Tada manchava de kanza wampu rabje looks on the way to your way to wa. Eta chiran jorda. Te chiran ge joko. Yor.
First I was asking him to say about the practice of the four sets of tantras. There are extensive explanations of four sets of tantras in Tibetan literature and Vajrayana. And yet, just from what I've seen so far, it appears that for the most part there's not much practice of the three lower tantras, that the emphasis on the highest of the tantras. At least that was my question. Rinpoche responded that in practice, it's not as if the practice of the three lower tantras was actually non-existent, which is more or less what I have. And in fact, there's a fair amount of attention given to it. However, there are. Then I asked about the. They say whether or not one did that would depend upon the individual systems that you would follow. So then I asked. From the point of view of most of us in the West, do the four preliminary practices of Rinpoche, and then the Abhisheka that's given as usual from the highest of the tantra class. And I was curious as to whether or not did that seem to suggest that there was no purpose in going through the three lower tantras progressively in terms of developing capacity for that type of practice. responded that there are lots of different systems and it depended upon the one that you were following. I'm not sure I can remember all that he said here, but there was a sense of, as this was explained in Shejaju, in terms of the view, you could start with the Vaibhashika view and go to the Tatrantika view and into the Chinnamarta view and the Kamadhyamaka view, and then progressively going up that way. So also in terms of the people who are progressing, not mainly in terms of philosophical practice, but in terms of meditative practice in various stages of meditation, that there would be different ways of going about it. And some people would go by way of the different classes of tantra, and some people would do individual practice and then do the Abhishek of Anuttara Yoga Tantra. And that latter was more the way of persons from among the three types of persons, Rapting, Kama, the finest, the middle, and the mainly the receiving the Abhishekha of Anuttara Yoga Tantra first was mainly the way of Kansapa, the highest class of person. And that's mainly the type that was practiced now. That was what you yourselves found.
Yeah. Well, there are these three progressive
approaches. Gomba remjo ka ko chu do wayin bare do ti te re chira jo da
de
so chi ni dan da ngin du lu so ye ro ba thumo ka ngin do da thumo ma ye be ngin do ti te ni gomba remjo ka ko chu ko ye sa re kar sa na ngin do bu ye chi ni lu so do ngma ja ga li yo ma re ji su pu lu so ma ro ba ta ngin do bu ye Lodo Namba Yeta, Tumon say, Mundo Yet, Tumon Mayimba Nangang Mundo Yeti, Gomba Ramjoka Cocho Vayavareto. Jixena Yapo, Sam Notana, the Gomba Ramjoka Cocho.
So,
Gomba
Ramjoka
Cocho.
So, commenting on the first the way in which the practice of the four of the various preliminary practices, let's say, the main point is. The procedure by way of first doing the what are known as the common or ordinary preliminaries, the four reminders and so forth, the four thoughts that turn the mind away from cyclic existence, and then doing the uncommon preliminary practices of prostrations and so on, is mainly a way of entering by way of the stages of meditation. And that Rinpoche feels if you think about it carefully and look into it, you'll see that that's the way in which one's proceeding. It's called Gomba Rinpoche. That this system of the preliminary practices as we practice it now is not something that existed in India. It was developed in Tibet. It was systematized and developed and arose in Tibet. If you look into that carefully, you'll see that it's the way of practice by way of the stages.
Tiang pernah tanjur ni perkawat se mata pelajar jodoh korban ni megomnya tesu tamje ni itu dan tu mungko gomre berapa?
So for example, the practices of thinking about the preciousness of a human rebirth, of leisure and fortune, of the death and impermanence, the relation between actions at one time and the effects which are experienced at a later time, and the false of cyclic existence. Are stages of meditation which are common to the practices of the Nyingtu, the Shravakas of Hiras.
Tene jamro tso Nyingtu tang tiki tumong ori do yoroba.
Then the practice of love, compassion, and developing bodhicitta, mind of enlightenment, are practices which are common with the Mahayana tradition.
Jamro. Tumong.
Jamro. Then also
going
for refuge,
Jambu. Now I'm going to know something.
Ah. Jambu. Rinpoche was saying that the practice of going for refuge was something which was common to the vehicle of Shravakas into the Mahayana, and then the development of bodhicitta, compassion and love and so forth, were practices which were uncommon, extraordinary, more particular to the Mahayana.
Pena chamdu kapsa sanje chudang genden somde nyindu da tumungare te ten la tene yedam je la gomya duwa chamdu kapsa la te yan sanga tumung ma yibare du duwa.
So for example, when you go for refuge to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, this is something which is common to the various vehicles, but when you conjoin with that the practice of a deity, a yidam, that is an uncommon
Vajrayana
or
Mantrayana
way of going for refuge.
Yedam Jude Ye, Lazo, Gomdatin, Sansego, the Wati, Kapsu, Saji, Yedam Drupa Tani, Yomarati, Yedam was Gomdu Yerama. Jude Ye Gomdu.
So, within the context of the four classes of Tantra, one is going for refuge within visualizing various deities, Yidams, and so forth. So for example, in the Tantra of Action, although you do not visualize yourself as a deity, you do visualize all sorts of external deities and so forth, and you go for refuge in that way.
Yabo, Tajitana, then Jam to Caps and Antony, Sajita, Yadam de Lattes of Gongu, your English.
So if
you look at it, really, Lime Pagong. Sasa,
if you look at it, there is a special way of going for refuge within the
town. Then Dorje Samba, Gomde Caps and Nata, Lamine, Gombaraway.
So then, for example, when you practice with Sangha and Guru Yoga and so forth, you are at that time actually meditating on deities explicitly.
When one does the Guru Yoga, one visualizes oneself as Dorje Pamo, and in front of one or seated on the crown of one's head are all the deities of the four classes of the Tantras. So, with respect to the approach Jules mentioned, namely that one first does the preliminary practices and then receives empowerment and does deity practice, that's then a progressive approach to the practice of meditation. It's not a progressive approach in relation to the view or the different views. So, in fact, this approach, which is a progressive one, consisting of that one starts out with the four preliminary practices and then continues, is then a very skillful approach, a skillful method.
Is there any relationship between the four stages of Vindra and the tantras leading up to Anuttara Tantra?
The four classes of tantras, you mean? Mm-hmm. If they're related to each?
Mm-hmm. Kriya, Upa. Because when you do prostrations, the deities are before you, and then in Dorje Sempa, the deity is closer to you, and then you finally...
Mm-hmm. Di ngundushi tan gyudishi gi gi gyudishi drelva yorbe.
Nero yeda.
La re pena dangpo sa tsewe kapsu tene la rangi dunla gongi yore. Di sa ju drapo. Rebe. Tene
jetsu la dorji.
La re tene chitsu la gongi yore dorji sanda. Tene denje tani ro niro drapo jogi marvis. Tene gyushi tangon rushi drelva yongi yore be. Ngundu dangda sa sa tselva di sa ju. What's the mandala related to that? Which tantra?
You got no choice.
Related to the
Which of the four tantras?
Okay, well, Kriya would be like prostrations, right. Because in Kriya Tantra you behold the deities, but you can't identify with them more, and they don't do anything to you.
What do they normally do?
But then the tantras above Kriya, where you begin to have an inner portion of it, are like Dorje Sempa, because although Dorje Sempa is outside of you, part of Dorje Sempa comes inside of you.
Oh, I see.
Nah.
and that's leading.
And then the mandala.
I see. Well, it seems that I can't compare them exactly, but Chaya and Upa and Yoga are moving progressively towards identifying with the deity. Well, one could think of it in that way. If one thinks in that way, there might be a connection.
Mental le kapsa ya jete ye la to kanga gom go go go. Mental le kapsa.
No.
Raba. Ina tendu ngendo ye da jete ye de wa ye pa ngara thong ma nyo.
Rinpoche hasn't seen any explanation that connects these, but one could connect them.
Chetang wang da sen na ngendo ta Dorsenre ma to jute ki la so to so kanga gom go go wa.
Re.
Dorje sambal chi gura wa. Yenda la kanga jute ki la so yang gom go go wa. Teacha ni
re. Except for the Dorje Sempa meditation, one does visualize the deities of all the four classes of the tantras in the other three.
Re. Oh ya. Ta tren ta kasu.